Fans of Jane Austen know that the author of Sense and Sensibility and Pride and Prejudice never published under her own name. Austen began writing in the late 1700s to entertain her family. Music was very much a part of their gatherings, too. Here's one of her favorite pieces. Austen and her siblings gathered their favorite musical pieces and compiled them in family music books. That was a practice common at the time. Let's find out more now from Samantha Carrasco, who's a member of the Austen Trio, which has a new CD coming out. Samantha, tell us about the Austen family music books.
Back in the sort of late 18th century, in the absence of CDs and records, a lot of family entertainment would have been sort of little sort of soirees and groups of people getting together and performing. Jane Austen talks about how she used to sort of play with her nephews and nieces and playing dances, and one person would play and then dances would be taught. It was very much part of the family structure and the sort of family setup of an entertainment in an evening.
And so Jane Austen herself compiled some of these books for the Austen family, what you're calling now the Austen family music books that you now perform. But she had a hand in, literally a hand in putting them together.
Yes, what's so fascinating about the music books themselves is they're an absolute collection of different people's tastes and sort of aspirations in some respects. So the collection, it's not one particular genre of music. There's music from the theatre, which Jane was very fond of. There's some political songs, and there's also a large collection of music which has come over directly from France, belonging to Jane Austen's cousin. So the family would then perhaps swap or lend these music books so that other members of the family could copy it out by hand. So this is where it gets rather interesting, because Jane Austen had copied, very painstakingly, some of this printed music. She's got an extremely elegant hand. Everything has got a very sort of specific neatness to it.
This is perfect. You must have thought that when you saw it. I mean, you can see her writing, but it's not even words. It's notes.
Yeah, it's sort of very, very crazy when you're actually just handling a manuscript like that, which is in some respects somebody else's music, but in her hand. And the sort of the meaning of that is sort of very, very humbling.
Let's listen to another piece now of music by Johann Kramer. And this is a sonata based on God Save the King, and it's actually one of the few musical pieces that Jane Austen named in a novel herself.
There's various examples of these national anthems within the Jane Austen music collection and the Austen family music collection. I think the Austens obviously were sort of very patriotic. They've got family at sea, at war at this time, and there's a lot of uncertainty politically. And it's interesting that in their own personal collection of music that they would have such a sort of patriotic example interwoven within the music.
Samantha, that's you playing, and Jane Austen played the piano, so maybe in the living room of her home, the parlor, she would have been playing it too?
Absolutely. In many respects, you know, I think tastes grow and change as they go along, and perhaps some of the sort of flamboyant theatrical songs that she may have, you know, liked, you know, in her youth, you know, then would have gone into slightly more political songs a bit later. Who knows? One of the other pieces, which was one of her favourites, was written by Robert Burns.
You're talking about Robert Burns, the Scottish poet. The piece is called There Groves of Sweet Myrtle.
There groves of sweet myrtle, let foreign lands reckon, their bright beaming summers and exalt the perfume.
This particular song was special to her, as the words have been changed. And what is, you know, in the original sort of Burns Scott song as the charms of his Jean, it's the charms of his Jane. And they're slightly changed, sort of, you know, in Jane Austen's hand. And
you mean she made it Jane instead of Jean?
Yes. Yeah. Wow. So it's, and she did it a couple of, this is the sort of second example that you can find of it. There's another song about a soldier which was changed she changed it to a sailor, perhaps, you know, thinking about her sailor brother, you know, but quite why she changed these things is all sort of is part of this sort of shroud of mystery in some respects.
That's Helen Neves, who's part of the group. She's a soprano. Who would do the singing in the Austen household?
Caroline, her niece, describes her as singing frequently, and her sister Cassandra would have sung. And we have to sort of transfer our minds back at 200 years, really, to think about what we would do for our own entertainment. And piano in the room, perhaps when the light was going, candles by the piano, that idea of somebody entertaining and singing and enjoying a song and telling a story. People would ask for requests of certain things which they would like, or, you know, sing us that song again, you know, Auntie Jane, sort of thing.
What about the French love song that was part of the Austen collection?
So Jane's cousin, Eliza de Faïd, lived in Paris, and when she was there, she had a monthly subscription of songs and harp pieces, as she was a harpist. These subscriptions very, very abruptly stopped at the point where, you know, the French Revolution started to really take grip, and this sort of terror formed, and Eliza de Faïd had to flee from Paris. And this particular song was written by Jean-Baptiste Krumpholz.
The song is about heartbreak. I'd like to end on the grand duet for harp and piano, Opus 72, by Jan Ladislav Dusek, who fled the French Revolution. And as we close out, I'd like you to tell us a little bit about the piece, and also just about what you learn from this music about Jane Austen, about the Austen family, and what they were like together at home.
So the Dusek piece is a very energetic piece, and the harp and piano duo was a very sort of popular formulation back in the 18th century. Perhaps the lady would have been playing the harp and the man would have been playing the piano. And the actual piece itself is very energetic. It's got lots of characteristic sort of changes and florid runs and impressive sort of changeover of melody from harp to piano, and a sort of flirtatious conversation in some respects, if you like, between the harpist and the pianist. And in terms of, you know, what the music has taught me and how I understand it, the whole collection has really brings out such an enormous different sort of collection of styles. The main thing is that they're all at very different levels. There's very small examples of children's drawing treble clefs in some of the manuscript books and teaching a sort of pedagogical role. And then there's some nursery rhymes where you sort of start drawing the clefs and learning your notes. And then it goes right through to something rather more virtuosic by Dussek, the grand duet for harp and piano, which requires a lot more technique than, say, some of the more simple one-handed, you know, one melody songs with a simple chordal accompaniment. So it's a combination of all these different styles, like in the novels, the various characters have all got different musical expertise, you know, the skill of, say, Jane Fairfax in contrast to Mary in Pride and Prejudice, who can barely sort of romp through a little sort of simple dance without embarrassing herself. You know, it's reflected in the novels as much as it is in the music and in the music collection itself.
Samantha Carrasco, a member of the Austin Trio, nice to speak with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.